Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come join the cabaret. Coming up in the new year, City Festival is going to be filling our city with a bold array of cutting-edge art and performance. The Aspie Hour is touted as a joyous cabaret created and performed by two young Australians who relate their experience living with Asperger syndrome through a shared passion for musical theatre. In the studio, we're joined by co-creator Ryan Smedley to talk us through the show. Ryan, good morning.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
Absolute pleasure. So the Aspie Hour, how did this one come about?
Well, it all started at uni, actually. Both Sophie and myself, we both co-write, co-perform, co-produce, met at studying musical theatre at Federation University down in Ballarat, Victoria. In our final year, we have a cabaret project where we create a 10-minute short form cabaret that's assessed, and that's about something personal and, you know, related to us. And even though we were in a year apart, both our shows were about the, one might say, unique topics of Asperger's syndrome and musical theatre. So when we saw that, we thought, okay, well, maybe there's something there, and so it was already part of the program that some shows were chosen to be extended out for half an hour as part of the Ballarat Cabaret Festival, and then with some very helpful and persistent prodding, may I say, from our director Fiona Scott Norman, she was like, "There's something here. You should put something together," and so we did, and we came up with the imaginative title of the Aspie Hour, and so it does go for an hour, We've been touring it around Melbourne ever since.
So if it went for half an hour, 2 hours, that would be a little bit more unique or at least confusing.
Well, exactly. There was one point when we did an abridged version at Bendigo and we did have to change the lyric to the Aspie Half Hour, the Aspie Half Hour. But, you know, we like to be accurate here.
Look, exploring experience with Aspiness, misreading social cues and perfectly memorising obscure musical theatre facts. What kind of experiences do you talk about in the show?
Well, it's kind of split into two halves, but bookended with duets and such with the two of us. My story is about how I went to New York City for the first time in 2015, and it was the first time I had travelled solo overseas by myself, and it was to experience, you know, my spirit home of Broadway, musical theatre. It's all that I love, and yet it was such a strange experience for me because it was such a culture shock, not knowing anyone there, having extreme social anxiety, and balancing those kind of lows with the absolute highs of being around other people who were just as passionate about the theatre as I was. So I came back from that and wrote several original songs based on my experience on that. Sophie, on the other hand, and if you go online, you'll see the poster. You'll see that she is wearing a custom-made replica Dorothy costume from The Wizard of Oz. Complete with ruby slippers, picnic basket, the ribbons in her hair. It's really quite stunning. And she talks about all of the, how music theatre has helped her get through mentally. She's struggled with her, I suppose we'll get to this eventually, but we were both diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome, obviously. I when I was 6 and she when she was 13. And while we both have rather different experiences with it, because I, you know, told people from almost immediately, whereas Sophie really didn't tell people about her Asperger's until we did this show 3 or 4 years ago. So musical theatre was her escape. It was her way of finding herself in another character and in a story on stage, and I think that's common for myself as well.
Just how obscure do these musical theatre facts get? What kind of musicals are you guys relating back to?
Well,
obviously The Wizard of Oz.
Well, yes, and I suppose that isn't too obscure, is it? But my favourite musical is Merrily We Roll Along. It's a little-known 1981 Stephen Sondheim work, and he's responsible for some of his better-known works. So A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, Sweeney Todd, Into the Woods. But Merrily only ran for 16 performances in its original season in 1981. It's since kind of come back with revivals and has something of a cult following, but I absolutely adore it. It runs backwards in time. It starts in 1981, ends in 1956, and we start at the end with these three friends who are jaded in their mid-40s, and then as we go back in time, we see how all their decisions has kind of led them to that point, and we finish on an optimistic note at the start, but it's bittersweet knowing where things go from there. And that's certainly you know, one of the more obscure shows in the repertoire, but it's a gorgeous show.
Fabulous. I mean, I must admit, I'm a little bit of a musical theatre fan myself, but that one's not one I've come across.
Oh, well, you must hear the original Broadway cast, because there are a few different cast albums. A lot of people go straight to the 2012 Encores cast recording with Lin-Manuel Miranda before he got all crazy famous with Hamilton. And no disrespect to the great man, but you can't go past the 1981 cast album, because it was recorded with young people. It was recorded with people ages 16 to 25. And in all other professional productions, it's been done with people in their 30s and their 40s, and it doesn't have the same youthful vitality. And admittedly, it's going to be difficult when you've got a show where you're playing a character between the ages of like 19 and 44. How do you counter that? But I think that the right way to do it is to just go the youthful route. It makes such a punch, you know?
That's absolutely fabulous, fabulous. Now, obviously, as we mentioned, Sydney Festival coming up next year, you're going to be performing this one, but it's not the it's the New South Wales debut, but it's not the first time you've been performing this one. So what kind of reaction have you had from audiences so far?
Oh, we've been remarkably, well, I suppose, surprised as how warmly it's been received, you know, particularly by people in the Asperger's and autism spectrum community. We started this out, you know, as a small season with a couple of shows at the Ballarat Cabaret Festival in 2017, and we sold both of those out, and then so we immediately got onto the Melbourne Comedy Festival for the following year, sold many of those shows out at the Butterfly Club, and then we did a stint at the Melbourne Writers Festival, and then we came back to the Comedy Festival again this year, and it was during that Comedy Festival season this year that we won the Green Room Award for Best Writing in the Cabaret, which was remarkable. The Green Room Awards are the peer assessed performing art awards are presented for the performing arts in Victoria, that was really quite a remarkable night, because the awards were on the same night as one of our performances in the comedy festival, and so Sophie had to be, you know, getting changed into a Dorothy costume, and I went on stage, collected the award, and said, "Hey, thanks guys, I've got a show in half an hour, I've got to dash by." But that's really gratifying to, you know, kind of just come out of uni and write a work and have it so warmly received so quickly. I have to say,
I mean, it was all right for Sophie. She could just click her ears twice and she could be at the theatre, but you obviously had to rush.
There's no place like Trades Hall, North Melbourne. Go.
Well, Ryan, look, best of luck going forward with this one. Sounds like a tremendous show. Yeah, very best of luck with Sydney Festival.
Thanks very much, Sean.
That was Ryan Smedley there joining us, talking to us about the Aspie Hour. That one's going to be showing up at the Sydney Festival, 14th to the 18th of January at Carriage Works. Look, check that one out. Check out what's going on at Sydney Festival if you're so inclined. We'll stick a link up to that one on our website, 2SER.com, on the podcast of this interview.